Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we're talking about how trauma affects our perception of ourselves and the world around us. And I know I've certainly experienced this. And as I've been on a healing journey, my perceptions have shifted. So I'm really excited to dive into this topic.
Yes, this is a really fascinating topic in trauma. And because our awareness has increased about trauma, and there's much more attention being paid about it on social media and a lot more awareness and education, this can be a really helpful thing to understand about how trauma affects the way you see yourself and how it affects the way you see the world. And about 12 years ago, I bought a book called Life After Trauma, and that's by Dina Rosenblum and Mary Beth Williams. And I was fascinated as I read that trauma changes the way you see the world, because your wiring in trauma gets laid down instantly because of the terror. And from that wiring, we start to see the world as dangerous. We start to have understandable fear of trusting people. And we see the world through this lens of danger. And the other thing that trauma does is it affects our ability to see ourselves the way we did pre-trauma. So when we have trauma, and one of the things that really pops up for trauma is a sense of powerlessness, incompetence, worthlessness, lovability. And those are all things that can linger with us until we do the body and healing work that we need to resolve some of the trauma.
Yeah, I think that really resonates. I know pre my core trauma at 8, I had a very a very innocent view of the world and myself. And then after that event, it led to a lot of shame. And that really kind of permeated my sense of self, as well as my interactions with other people for years and years.
Yes. And that's what trauma does. Your agency or your sovereignty is violated. And the way to survive for the brain is to start defending yourself against any potentiality of that occurring again.
It's also really difficult to, I mean, there's so much secrecy with trauma, and it really doesn't, I mean, I think it's changing, but especially with any sort of abuse, there's a sense that it's your fault.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it's not, it not only leads to hypervigilance where you're constantly scanning for danger, but it also leads to this sense of there's something inherently wrong with me because I brought this on myself.
And that is almost inevitable. It's very rare to find somebody, when I'm talking with people, they logically can say that they know it's not their fault, but their body memory and the wiring that gets laid down instantly in that trauma tells a different story. And that story does not respond to logic or reasoning. And so no matter how much you tell yourself it's not your fault, and you know that's true, there is something in your mind and body that defies that.
When I said it's changing, what I meant is like culturally and publicly, there's a lot better conversation about how, you know, sexual assault is not your fault, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas when we were younger, it was like, well, what was she wearing? What was, you know, so that still exists to some degree, especially in legal proceedings. But there is a cultural shift where there's a recognition that abuse is not the fault of the victim. So let's talk about, we know it shifts the way you perceive yourself. One of the things that's really interesting to me about perception, and this is perception in general, not just in trauma, but that each individual has a different perception of the same event. And that gets almost exacerbated in trauma. So you and I were raised in the same household. We both experienced complex trauma, this sustained pattern of, you know, really messed up stuff, if you will. Very scientific.
Yes. I think people will relate.
Yes. But we came away with very, very different understandings of what happened, why it happened, who was to blame. And a lot of, in our adult life, we've been able to kind of understand each other's perceptions. But I think what's so interesting and also a little bit debilitating in terms of repairing relationships is this radically different perception of the exact same thing.
Yes, we were talking about this a couple of days ago. I can't remember what we were talking about, but you were remembering something. And I was like, I have no memory of that. And you're like, well, you were there. And I'm all, I believe you.
Yeah. And it's normal. Yes. It's normal in a non-traumatic event.
Exactly.
That you're going to have different things you kind of grasp onto in a conversation or in an event that mean different things to you, because our perception is filtered through our own life experiences. And so one of the things we see in our work is family members, including, you know, ourselves, but other family members who have the same upbringing, but very different memory and very different perceptions of what happened. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think about,
so how do we address that?
Well, before I go there, let me tell you what comes up for me. I was thinking about like how you were the family scapegoat, and that's going to inevitably change the way you experienced life in the family. I was not. And I can remember prior to doing counseling, I recall that we would tell you to quit being so dramatic or whatever. And you were actually the truth teller in the family. And that's often the case, is that the kid who is like stumped by how crazy things are and speaks up about it is told they're being dramatic or they're too emotional or whatever. Because it helps keep the silence about the dysfunction and the abuse. And the way to address it, I think there are several things as we talk about this topic. One is, I think it's vitally important to work with somebody professional who can help you heal your perception of yourself. And I remember doing one of my EMDR trainings, and we had these sheets that said, that talked about negative cognitions, because one of the things you can do with EMDR is you can identify the negative incorrect belief that cropped up because of the trauma. And there are so many that come down to, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid I'm not worth it. My needs don't matter. I'm not lovable. I'm on my own. And as I've continued to do trauma work since then, I've just been struck by how common it is for people to, at the bottom, have that core belief that came out of trauma.
I mean, as you're speaking, I have just so many memories flooding back of feeling so alone and so isolated and so unwanted.
And you would experience that because you're the scapegoat. So everyone's telling you to shut up and don't be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, that was the best thing that I was told. That was a dream if it just was that. Okay. You know. But what I want to call out is, it's not until you say this that I remember that's how I felt.
Yes.
And that speaks to how effective healing is and doing this work.
Right.
Because I don't feel that way anymore. And I don't experience that anymore. And so yeah, great. It's so unusual. Like as you're talking, I'm remembering that, and it's kind of flooding back, but it's so far back. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a very hopeful message.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've talked before on the podcast that, you know, for decades, there's been this push towards cognitive therapy. And while that can be very valuable, if you don't have a practitioner that can help you do body work, can help you with somatic exercises or experiencing, can do EMDR or internal family systems, then it's going to be very, very difficult and a very long path to heal your nervous system. And healing the nervous system, it's so interesting to me as we've studied polyvagal theory in the last few years. I know lately I've been talking to my clients about how if your nervous system is responding to perceived danger, then no matter what logical thoughts you tell yourself, your body will say, you're a liar. And so if the body can't calm down, then it can't tell a neutral story and sometimes even an accurate story.
Yeah, it is absolutely held in the body. And I love that. And that's honestly, that's why we started the whole health lab, because we weren't seeing a lot of practitioners using all of the tools that the research shows is most effective for trauma recovery. And that's somatic work and EMDR, nervous system regulation. We would see people doing one or the other. And, you know, this was 3 years ago. So there are more practitioners incorporating it. But I don't see, you're either a talk therapist or you're a body worker. And there's not a ton of crossover yet.
Yes. And that's what we're missing in the profession. I think there's been tremendous movement towards incorporating the body. Trainings started popping up about that, I don't know, maybe 19, 20 years ago, to my awareness. I never really paid them much attention because I had a lot of training and experience with cognitive therapy. And so I was insistent in my own brain that if you could change your thoughts, you could change your emotions and your behavior. And what we understand is that if your nervous system is having a neuroception, a subconscious perception of danger, no matter how accurate your thoughts are, your body won't calm down. So being able to alter that and recognize the importance of the narrative we tell ourselves, but also knowing that when our body is activated or collapsed, the narrative is going to have some element of danger in it.
And that is what keeps the perceptions that we have about the world and ourselves really tied to thinking. It's a bottom-up approach that is needed, where if we pay attention to the body, we can actually change our thoughts. Well, is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
I think if you can remind yourself that whatever your perception has been after trauma, that it's adaptive, because you've had a horrifying event happen. And so now your body and your brain are going to make sure it never happens again. I mean, that's not reality. Like, we can't prevent bad things from happening because people have their own choices. But if you can recognize that that is an adaptive in the moment response, and that your defendedness or your caution or your trepidation in regards to the world and relationships is very understandable, then you can move into a place of noticing without judgment. And that helps keep your body and your brain less activated.
That's great. Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.